welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to women about their successes and challenges and how they motivate us. This is Nikki Bannerman, and I'm so proud to interview today my influential young woman, Vanessa Sam, also known as Inspiring Vanessa. Hello and welcome.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Oh my goodness, I'm delighted to have you, and I can't believe how young you are. And welcome to your mum, Veronica, too. We've just met her. Vanessa is one of the youngest teen international award-winning motivational speakers in the UK, an author and presenter, an actress and a model who's appeared on Sky TV, Amazon and Prime already. I mean, it's just astonishing. You are so inspiring, Vanessa. Well done you. Are you proud of yourself?
To be honest, I'm not the type of person who kind of just like is proud of themselves for a lot of things. Like, I have to be doing so many different things to kind of validate myself, despite how much gratitude and like how much support that I get from other people. Even though I get so much just appreciation, which I'm so thankful for, if my brain doesn't accept it, then it just doesn't go through to my brain. But right now, at this stage in my career, I am very proud of what I've achieved, but I'm still not where I want to be, so there are still a lot of other things that I would like to accomplish.
Oh, that's incredible, and you should be proud of yourself. I can't believe you put so much pressure on yourself of wanting to do more and more and more. You've honestly done more than most adults, so I think it's incredible what you've achieved. Huge congratulations. Now, where have you been spending lockdown?
So I am based in South London. This, I guess you can say, third lockdown, second lockdown, I've kind of just lost track now, but this current lockdown that we're in now, as we've gone into 2021, I've actually been going to school because I started a new school last year in September. So that was quite odd for me to have that transition throughout lockdown, not being able to say goodbye properly to my old friends from my last school and going into a new school now. But now I get to do live lessons, which is actually really helpful. I feel like it's a lot easier to learn and to, you know, retain information from my lessons. So I'm very glad that I do have online live classes with my teachers as well, to actually go into school properly and just be on my laptop and complete my work while I'm at school. So it definitely gets me into that nice routine, that good productive mindset. So I'm very grateful that I do have the opportunity to do so, as my mum is a key worker.
Wow, you're amazing. And the fact that you've even, you know about mindset and everything, and I'll come to ask you about all that because it's mad times, isn't it? And you haven't been able to attend any events, but the A-lister events that you went to since you were 10, I believe, and some amazing companies you've been involved with, you must miss those. You've already outshone most adults. You've got 2 books, your own talk show on Amazon and Prime, your own YouTube and TikTok channels, and your own podcast. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Only that I started at 9 years old.
Oh, was it 9 years old? And how many followers do you have now? Do you know?
I'm not completely sure altogether, but on Instagram, I think it's 19,600, which is so insane. So crazy to me, but I'm not sure altogether, but we are growing, and I'm so thankful for everyone who does follow my journey and who wants to know what I'm doing.
Definitely, we all want to know what you're doing. So what are you going to do with the rest of your life then? You said you've still got dreams and not where you want to be. What is that rest of your life big vision you've got?
I'd love to be on bigger stages, bigger platforms, and I'd love to do a TED talk. I actually have done one, but I did one for 1 minute. It was kind of a weird story, but they basically had the opportunity because I went to a TED talk event where one of our friends was speaking there, and the people who are obviously organizing the event were like, okay, you guys know that it takes a long time and a lot of preparation to actually deliver and get your kind of slot for an actual TED talk, so we're gonna give, I think, 5 lucky people the chance to do 1 minute on stage here today. So first come, first serve kind of thing. And because I'm the type of person who is like one of the biggest like perfectionists, I was like, Mum, I don't think I can do it because I am not prepared whatsoever. But luckily, as she did the first time I actually went on stage, she gave me those encouraging words to, you know, put myself out of my comfort zone. So while I was listening to other speeches, I was just kind of writing down whatever I could think of, whatever I want to talk about under, I think, the theme. I can't remember the theme at the top of my head, but what I spoke about for minute was The Mask of Perfection. So I was trying to write notes about that on my phone while I was listening to other speakers. And I delivered it, but I can definitely say that I was shaking most of the time.
Even adults are shaking when they're on stage. So to do that...
I hadn't felt nervous like that for a very long time because I don't really get nervous when I speak on stage anymore. But when I went there, I think it's just because it was such a big thing. Like this was a TED talk, a TEDx talk.
Yes. It's huge. You can teach so many adults how not to be nervous. But you were saying about perfectionism, and obviously for your age, and you are now, is it 14 that you are now?
Yes.
Amazing. And you've done so much. Teens your age, they do put themselves under pressure to be perfect, and social media doesn't help, doesn't it? So you're wanting to actually tell others your own age and above that you don't have to be perfect, are you? Do you tell yourself you don't have to be perfect?
What even is perfection? What does perfect even mean? I mean, everyone has their own idea of what that means. Is just like, I guess you can say beauty standards, for an example. That's something that we always consider like the idealistic beauty standard. We kind of always relate those two together, and it's like maybe the features that you have you don't like, you see those as your flaws, but then someone else might really want your features. So everyone has a completely different idea of everything. So I really think that the idea of perfection or trying to be perfect is really just non-existent. It's just something that exists in our minds. But I think if people try and be perfect, then maybe you can try and be the best version of yourself.
Gosh, I can't even believe the way you hold adult conversations and the numbers that you've interviewed and everything. It's just incredible. I just feel like, yes, you are an adult, aren't you? You're a young adult. So you call your listeners inspirators. You love speaking to others. So you love helping others with confidence and inspiration, as well as obviously perfection now. Do friends come to you for advice, or, what do the teachers think of you at school?
I think I've been asked that question a few times. Do people come to you for advice? And I don't think people really do, because it's really weird, because people, like, their first impressions of me is that I'm like quite two-faced, which I can actually not really understand, but they're probably like, oh, she's an influencer or social media person, so she's going to be completely different to how she is on screen. And I try and be as normal and as, just the same as I usually am everywhere else. I still am a human being. I still do go to school and still complete my work and everything else like everyone else does. So I think listening to people's first impressions of me, or their first, like, what they thought their first impression of me was going to be, is quite interesting to hear about. But honestly, people don't really come up to me for advice. It's more people from Instagram who I request that I get questions for advice rather than my actual friends. If I choose to, then I'll give my own advice and they'll be like, actually, thank you, Vanessa, for that. That really helped. I think people might just forget, because it's just me having a normal conversation with them as a normal person. They don't see me as inspiring Vanessa. They just see me as Vanessa, me being myself.
Yes, and that is you being yourself, and you are being yourself, and I don't think you're two-faced at all. I think you've got maybe two identities of who you are. You know, you're still at school and being with your friends and very grounded, and you are this incredible personality as well, with an amazing superstar career ahead of you. So you should be proud of both. I'm amazed that your teachers aren't in awe of you, asking you to do the classes for them, because that's probably why people aren't talking to you, because they're probably actually afraid they couldn't be as good as you are.
I mean, you never really know. I think when I was in primary school, I think that was more relevant. That I kind of was like, maybe it's not the fact that you just don't enjoy what I do. It's just maybe you could be jealous. Like, that's an idea that people were giving to me. They were like, they don't like you. They're just probably jealous of what you're doing. And I never thought of it like that. So I was like, well, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Maybe they just completely don't actually understand. And that's completely okay, because not everyone grows up in an environment where you are learning about self-development and learning how to encourage yourself and do that for other people as well. So definitely, I try not to kind of judge anyone for the way they act towards other people, even though that is very hard to do sometimes, but you never know what people are going through behind closed doors.
I mean, you're wiser than most adults. You definitely are. And you found your gift and your calling so much earlier. A lot of people take a whole lifetime to find it. So good for you. Now, I saw a lovely reflection video you did of the events you went to in 2020 before lockdown, and some of the parties and things you went to with your lovely mum, and that looked really exciting as well. You know, you're at film premieres and games events and all sorts of things. You dyed your hair blue as well, didn't you?
I can tell you've done a deep dive into the YouTube channel. Well, technically, yes, I did dye my hair blue, but it was just hair wax, because if I ever dyed my hair properly, my mum would lose her mind. That's all I'm going to say. She would not be happy with me at all. I think it's just because we've seen, obviously my hair is curly, so to dye my hair would almost... well, probably ruin my hair texture, and I wouldn't want that as well. I wouldn't want to lose my curl. That's part of my identity. That's just where I find most of my confidence in as well. So I feel like if I lost my curls, then I would be a little bit upset with myself, to be honest. So hair wax is the best way, is the closest way that I can have a pop of colour without completely damaging my hair.
Product, wasn't it? So confidence and inspiration, what would you say to people to give them confidence and inspiration? I know you've done a lot of talks on this, and incredible talks, you know, in front of hundreds if not thousands of people, and just standing there very relaxed on stage, which most people don't like. What would you say about confidence?
I'd say confidence mainly, I think it's all about body language. I think that's one of the most important things. If you want to become confident, you need to adapt to the body language of a confident person. So for example, you need to walk like a confident person, you need to speak like a confident person. And as you start doing these different things, it's like just getting into routine. And they say 21 days is when you create a new habit for yourself. So if you continue creating this routine for yourself over 21 days, obviously being consistent after that as well, you are going to start feeling and acting like a confident person. That's kind of where your mentality has to start in. But also having to know, I think, is one of the most crucial things, is to know the fine line between vanity and confidence. Because I think we mix and match them a little bit too much nowadays. Because especially on social media, it's like someone can be just sharing their self-love, their self-confidence, and people can be like, oh, she's a bit too full of herself, or can he stop doing this, or can they stop doing that? So I think people need to understand that maybe they deserve to appreciate themselves and deserve to love themselves. Everyone deserves to feel like that in their lives. But vanity, on the other hand, is more like uplifting yourself and bringing other people down, and confidence is the opposite of that. So
that's so true.
That's a really important thing about being a confident person, to not mix the two. Otherwise, you don't become confident, because no one else is going to really want to be around you, and that kind of defeats the purpose of other people viewing you as confident as well.
Gosh, that's so wise, so wise. Now, you've done some modelling and were involved with the Younger London Fashion Show. That must have been amazing last year as a model, and you even got sponsors and did the catwalk. How was that?
It was amazing. I mean, I love going to Mini Mode, London Kids Fashion Week. It's always an amazing experience. I mean, the first time I actually went to the event, the first two times I've been to the events was when I was actually hosting. And then last year in February, I was like, well, actually, I kind of want to be a model this year. I want to be on the other side of things as well. I'm always about getting your experience. And because I love both extremely, very much equally, I was just really excited to be a model for that year. I mean, it's so much fun. I mean, I've met some of my dearest friends from those events. So, yeah, it was a great experience.
Amazing. So can you tell me about what being a motivational speaker is and how this passion and work started for you? I know some of the story, but it's just lovely to hear it about how you and your mum were inspired, weren't you?
So I started when I was 9 years old. I started in 2016. My first video was posted the 2nd of April 2016. So this year is going to be my 5th year anniversary. I do not know how that happened, how time went that fast. Very, very crazy. But to kind of sum it up, I attended an inspirational seminar, and one of the speakers there was like, Vanessa, you should come and speak on stage with me. And I was already following him on social media at the time with my mum as well. So I kind of saw him as a celebrity. He was kind of the first motivational speaker that I had ever seen or heard of. So when I finally got to meet him and he invited me up on stage, or was telling me that I should come on stage with him, I was very excited yet very, very like nervous, because me at 9 years old, my confidence definitely wasn't where it was than where it is now. So as I said before, my mum thankfully gave me those encouraging words to just go and speak on stage. No one was asking me to do a 20-minute talk. I could very happily do that now, but at the time that was a big no for me. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go ahead and do it. And I'm very, very glad I did, because I don't know where I'd be now.
It changed your life. And what was his name? He was called Warren, wasn't he? And your mum was interested in him, but you became interested through the eyes of your mum. And, you know, it was life-changing. It literally, did it feel as though this is where I want to be? You stood up on that stage and you just thought, this is my future.
I mean, I feel like being on stage was actually more of a blur. Being on stage was more of a blur, and just kind of trying not to think about the people who were staring at me. I think the stage fright definitely just kind of blocked out my other senses. But it was more afterwards where I had that realization where I was like, actually, this is a way that I can help people. This is a way that I can have my freedom, travel around the world and help and empower and just meet other people. And that's always what I've wanted to do. I just find it so interesting that we all have our different lives and everyone can help each other. So that's something that I found my dream job. That's what I thought of it at 9 years old.
At 9 years old. And you've got your own personal mentor. Did that come about just very shortly after that, talking on stage?
I think I met Master Shri, I think 2 years after, or I think maybe like my second year of doing speaking. But yeah, I've met so many amazing people who've kind of been, I guess you can say, mini mentors. I've learned very valuable lessons that people would look for the rest of their lives, and I just get to meet those people and get that advice there and then. So I'm incredibly grateful for that, and I'll always, always carry that with me.
Wow. And what did your mum think about all of this?
I mean, my mum at first was quite skeptical about social media. I think every parent is, but I'm very glad that she was already starting her own personal development journey, so that she was coming out of this kind of closed mindset at first and kind of opening up to these other possibilities and opportunities. So I'm very glad that she was open to it, and she was like, well, if this is something you want to do, then I'm going to support you with it. And then we made my YouTube channel, we made my Instagram account, and I just started getting booked for different events after I was attending other ones as well. It's more just connecting with more people, and somehow it's gotten me here.
It definitely has. And you're doing shows, as you say, in social media, streaming, and things that lots of adults don't know how to do. And I saw you when you were interviewing TikTok, and I don't even really understand TikTok channel, but how you were setting up a new trend on how to shake, and you got nearly 300,000 views on that, which was amazing. And how you scripted on your cards with your own talk show with some of your motivational guests, like the vegan cookbook, and it was just amazing. You know, you're a natural, and you and your mum are the producers of everything as well, are you? Do you do all your own editing? And
yeah,
you've learned the whole thing yourself.
I mean, I've been editing my own YouTube videos for 4 years, ever since I started doing YouTube. I've been doing it on iMovie. I still am now. I mean, iMovie is my best friend for editing. Well, I don't think I'll ever move on from that software. But yeah, I've been self-taught how to edit.
You paid to be producer and editor as well, I think, is incredible. And I think teens would rather hear from another teen. And you were interviewing, I saw as well, on Instagram, a TikTok presenter, and he said it was his first interview on that platform, wasn't it, in terms of how you had two phones, was it, against the camera? How did you even do that, an Instagram live where you were interviewing him and filming yourself all at the same time?
Well, I don't know when the feature came out, but on Instagram lives you basically just guest people, and they just request to go live with you, and then it just comes up on the screen. It's basically just like doing a Zoom call, like doing a Skype call, Teams, anything else like that's pretty much the same thing. So I think it's a really cool feature, and I'm very glad that Instagram has kind of given people the opportunity to do so, because it helps you connect with so many different people, and it's just a great way to have a conversation where other people can tune in and, you know, participate with that as well. But yeah, it's really, really fun. It's great that social media has the ability and power to do that for us.
Amazing. So women, you know, and young women and teenagers can all be their own producers in their own bedrooms in lockdown, can't they now? Which is, you're ahead of the game, because lots of people working from home are unsure what to do. So this digital world, you're ahead of the game. Good for you. I don't know how you plan it all with your life. Do you have particular shows out on different days, don't you? So how do you structure your working week with your school and everything?
I mean, I just do it like everyone else. I don't know. People kind of always expect like this master plan from myself, but I'm just like, I'm not really the most organized person. It's more my mum who helps me out with that, to be honest.
I thought it was a particular night of the week that you had on one social media, and then a different day you had a different one, and then working in between.
A lot of it is just the power of social media, the amazingness of social media, because let's say on the weekend I will film a few videos, and then throughout the weekdays I will edit them, and then we can schedule them to come out at different times during the week. So whenever you see a video premiering, for example, on my YouTube channel, doesn't necessarily mean that I am sitting there right there filming the video at that specific time. It could have been filmed like a month ago or a week ago or something like that. So I think it's great that we had the chance to plan things out in the future, because otherwise it would be extremely overwhelming. So I'm glad that I can kind of post on certain days of the week on social media as well, Instagram lives, also the episodes that air on the show as well. They're all obviously pre-recorded. They come out on their specific date. So I think it's great that we have the chance for it to kind of not really do it for you, because there is a lot of still work that goes behind it, but
it is
very helpful.
But you and your mum are running the business together, and how lovely to have that relationship together as you grow up. It's amazing. Now, I know travel, you'd said, is one of your passions, and you've traveled extensively around the world already. You've even been to Africa to promote your book, which we hadn't mentioned. You've even got books out as well. So did Africa feel special? They loved you there, didn't they?
I loved going to Kenya. It's such no words to describe my experience there. But we went there to the H Giving charity at the orphanage. Yeah, it was just an amazing experience. It's so just not even life changing. It's just so eye opening. If you think about all the things that we have, and we still find something to complain about each day, and it just kind of seems selfish when you go and see these people who are so much less fortunate and barely have anything, and they still manage to put a smile on their faces, and it's just the most beautiful thing. So I feel like after that trip I was completely changed. I mean, when we were there, I think like literally at the orphanage, the toilet there was pretty much just a hole. So when we got our flight back and I could literally just be in my bathroom with my proper toilet, I was hugging my toilet. I'm pretty sure there's a photo somewhere on social media online of me just hugging my toilet. It really just changes your whole perspective on things. It makes you very, very grateful, for sure.
Definitely. And that'll really help with your happiness right now and everyone else's, because everyone's struggling to feel happy right now. Amazing. You've had books when you were only 10 years old on public speaking. What tips did you have for public speaking then? Did you have a top tip on how to get rid of nerves, or how to even stand there without your knees trembling?
I mean, like, I didn't even know. Like, that's really bad for me to say, but I honestly don't even know. Yeah, because in my book, The Five Secrets of Public Speaking Success, it's more about actually delivering the speech that I've just realised, like, literally now. It's more about delivering the speech rather than trying to get over those nerves. I feel like it's more about making that sacrifice for yourself. Am I going to put myself on stage, put myself out of my comfort zone and let my confidence grow? See where it's going to take me. See what people I'm going to meet and what journey that's going to take me on, what path that's going to lead me on to. But I'd say my main tip for actually getting on stage or getting over, I guess, stage fright is practice. Practice doesn't make perfect, it makes progress. Practice does make progress. And I think the more you just end up doing it, the more you're going to get comfortable with it. Otherwise, I really have no advice for it, because people have their own, like, millions of ways. There are millions of different ways that people can get over stage fright. I know it's not for everyone. It doesn't have to be for everyone. But it's not only just about delivering a speech. It's more about the message you're trying to deliver. So if your passion is stronger than your stage fright, then you're going to be able to deliver your speech.
Wow. Amazing. See, you are so wise. You're so bright. Amazing. Your teachers must be in awe of you. It's obviously something that you had always wanted to do. So you've won awards for your work as well. Loads of awards, not just one award. You've won probably more than 12, haven't you, looking online? Have you got them all on a shelf somewhere in your bedroom?
I do, actually. I've got it like, well, you know, these little like IKEA bookshelves. I've just got like a little booth for my awards. But Yeah, there are quite a few that I'm very, very thankful for.
Oh my goodness, you're so humble. And they even one company made a category younger specially to benefit you, didn't they? In terms of you were too young for the award that they were giving. What are some of your favourite awards? I mean, you know, you probably don't even want to say favourite awards, but what are some of the awards that you just remember vividly?
So specifically what you're just saying now, the Global Youth Awards, that was an amazing opportunity because I was kind of the first person who sparked there being awards for younger people, for younger ages, because I think I was the youngest to ever receive award from them. And they were kind of like, well, we've broken like their age limit for me. I think I was 10 or 11 when I got the award. And then it just became this big thing. So I'm very grateful that what I have started has kind of given other people the opportunity to be recognized for what they're doing, because there are so many people who just deserve to be recognized and deserve to have not even just massive platforms, but people to know them and people to notice them and people to, yeah, just be like, congratulations for doing what you do, because they really do deserve that recognition.
They do. Gosh, and you so do. And you have been recognized already. I mean, amazing. And your mum is your manager. So she wasn't a pushy mum then. I've heard you said that on interviews before. It was literally you driving everything and she was just supporting you. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she's definitely not a pushy mum at all. I mean, I'm a Leo. I'm extremely stubborn when I want to be or when I can be. So if I don't want to do something, I legitimately will not do it. I will just completely disregard it whatsoever. So my mum has never forced me into doing anything that I'm doing now. It's purely my passion and my love for what I do. And my mum is just the amazing person she is, helping me accomplish it and support me along the way.
Gosh, she certainly is amazing. So good shout out to her, Veronica. So your GCSEs, you're in the middle of studying at the moment. What's your favourite subject and what do you want to do? Are you going to do A-levels or do you want to go on and do a course somewhere? What do you want to plan to do? You're doing this already as a business. What do you need to do?
I really don't know, because so many people ask me that question. And it's like, well, are you going to go to college, university? Like, what are kind of your thoughts? And I don't know. I don't know what my headspace is going to be in the future. I like have honestly no clue what the future holds. My GCSEs that I'm doing now, I'm doing my media, I'm doing art GCSE and drama, and then obviously I have the compulsory subjects, which is obviously math, science and English. So I think my favorite subjects would probably have to be art. I mean, just sitting in that classroom, and it's very good because you're around like-minded people. The people who you're in the classroom with have also chosen art, so you're not really around people who are like, oh, I really don't want to be here, I don't like art at all. You're actually around people who are like-minded and who actually love doing the same thing that you do, which is really great. It's a lovely environment to work with and it's very relaxing. And it's great when I was still in school properly, to sit in that classroom and to just, you know, listen to music, which I'm very grateful that I get the chance to do so in my school. And yeah, just get to do my artwork.
Wow. So when you've taken your GCSEs, is there one subject that you might specialize in or you don't know yet?
I mean, I'm doing my GCSEs next year, so I'm still in the middle of, like, not even in the middle, I'm still preparing for, I guess, coursework, still being introduced to it and everything.
Yes, so it's lucky it's not this year, because some of them are cancelled and it's very hard and there's mocks. So I'm glad I haven't disturbed you in the middle of mocks then. That's next year.
No, because I actually want to do my GCSEs. I know a lot of teenagers are like, she is insane, she's crazy, but I actually do want to do them, because
you want to do
that? I really do. There's a lot of hard work that's gone into it. I feel like that would all go to waste if you don't end up doing them.
You're very dedicated. Yeah. I take my hat off to you. Now, as this is the Influential Women podcast and you are the most influential young woman that we've ever had on the show, it helps others face challenges in their own lives. And sometimes hearing other people's stories, and we've talked to celebrities and authors and broadcasters and campaigners and advocates, people that are passionate about a cause, and you're so passionate about your causes. And sometimes hearing stories can help others in their lives, you know, when they're trying to face challenges or anything. So with your mum's permission, is there anything you want to share that could help women and younger women with their lives and any sort of challenge that you've been through in terms of helping others?
I mean, I think it's more just about awareness. When you go on your journey, it's like you have to be aware of the obstacles that are gonna, to be brutally honest, knock you down. And the main thing is to carry on getting up at the end of it, even if you get knocked down. So I think people need to be aware of that. One, not everyone's gonna like you. Not everyone is gonna support you. Not everyone is gonna understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, and where you're going. Some people just completely do not want to be a part of what you do. And that is okay. If they don't want to be helped, then that's nothing we can do about it. That's what I've always had to tell myself. Because if I want to help as many people as I want to, but if people aren't opening their hearts, opening their minds up to that help, then there's nothing we can do about that, because that is their own choice that they're making for themselves. So I feel like it's the most important thing to think about who you are going to meet on your journey, and the people who do support you and who do encourage you, and that you can also uplift. You do it for each other, that you, that is your dream team. That's the people who you keep close to, and the people who you go to success with, to your own individual dreams and goals. So I feel like the most important thing is to understand that not everyone's going to support you in what you do, but the people who do, keep them close to you, and just, I guess, trust the process.
Definitely. Oh, I love the fact that you use that as a mantra, don't you? And I was going to ask you about a mantra, actually. Is that your favourite mantra, your favourite sort of motto or saying, trust the process?
I mean, I've got so many favorites. I could be here for, I don't even know how many years, speaking about all the quotes that I adore very, very much. But I think it is one of my favorites, one of my top maybe 10. One of my top 10, trust the process. I mean, it probably doesn't sound as calming when you are stressed or the last thing you want to do is trust the process, but it really does help in the end, I think. So it's a constant reminder to trust the process whenever you're feeling stressed out, whenever you feel like some things aren't going the right direction.
Well, I think you're just so lovely to listen to. You're very, very inspiring. You really are. We love strong women like you. So who has been the person that's inspired you in your life then?
I definitely just have to say my mum.
I think so. You're definitely a dream team. And I hope she's obviously very near so she can hear us. And I'm not surprised. And did she want to, you know, obviously she wanted to hear about inspirational, motivational speakers herself for her own journey. And is it something? Does she want to get up on stage and motivate people and write books as well?
Honestly, my mum is the last person you'd ever see speaking on stage. It is the weirdest thing, because me and my mum, we are extremely similar in a lot of different ways, but then also completely like polar opposites. So for both of us, we can be very bubbly. We can like be extremely talkative. Just massive chatterbox. But for me, obviously, I love speaking on stage. That's my, I guess you can say, comfort place. I love speaking on stage. And I miss it very, very much.
You must do at the moment. And I hope you're doing a big event through the screen. Well, you definitely are a dream team. Opposites attract and you're working together. My goodness. So what do you do when you're not running your incredible business and doing your schoolwork? You said you enjoy art. What do you do with your art then?
Just do art, I guess. Just do art. But I do love painting, sketching. I love doing like oil pastel work. It's so much fun. I know a lot of people are probably like, oil pastels are probably like the worst thing. I feel like watercolors are the hardest for me to use.
What inspires you, the pictures that you do?
I think I look a lot online for different like inspiration for art, because sometimes I honestly am just like, I really want to draw something, or I feel like painting something today, but I've got no clue what to do. So I just try and get different inspiration from different things. Or if I see a certain artist that I really like, that's something that I obviously do at school as well, like artist research, adapting this person's style into your own style, into your own way of doing it. So I think, yeah, and I think mental health is a really big thing as well. In art, I feel like the work that people produce, when it kind of just comes from their hearts and just is purely, not even imagination, but just purely just doing it straight onto that, completely just and truly amazes me.
Gosh, definitely. And at the moment, when everyone's struggling in lockdown, whatever age they are, you know, having an outlet like that that's creative is really, really helpful, isn't it? To give them a channel, and that will help a lot of people listening. So mantra, you've talked about trust the process. Any other mantras that you'd say is how you live your life? How do you get through every day?
I actually saw this, not even like a proper mantra or a proper quote. I just think I saw it in someone on TikTok, actually. And it was like these videos keep going around on my For You page, just like an explore page almost on TikTok. And it was like, whenever you want to think of your life differently, check the comment. And everyone can just put in different comments about maybe their own different mantras, for example. And somebody commented, remember when someone like gives you a TV show to watch and they say it's boring at first, but it gets better? What if you looked at your life that way? And it just completely just shook me. Like, it just completely astonished me. And it's so extremely true. It's just like, yeah, we, when we watch TV shows, we're so involved in the characters and in their different stories, we still carry on watching to see the good parts. And that's really what we should be doing with our own lives, to know that it will eventually get better, which is also kind of leading down to trust the process.
Wow, that's so inspiring as well, isn't it? I'd never even thought of it like that, but that's so true. And it's almost that trust in ourselves. We don't want someone else not to like our judgment of a film, so we just say, oh, you might not like it, but it's a sort of... So that's a brilliant way of looking at it, particularly with this lockdown. It is boring and it is relentless and it's a bit rather similar on a daily basis, but it will get better, won't it? And we'll all be at those events and everything again. And I look forward to meeting you one day at one of these amazing events. So what is next for you then, inspiring Vanessa, being so inspiring over there on your sofa in your room?
I mean, I would love to do more interviews with higher end people, for example. I mean, if I can reach even more people, and that is obviously such a dream come true as well. I mean, I'd obviously, the Inspiring Vanessa show, it's already on Sky TV, on Yanga TV, channel 186. But it's so surreal to me already having that. But if it could be on like even bigger platforms, that would blow my mind as well. Just so that we can reach as many young people to, so that they can have the knowledge shared to them as well, and have these motivational people who I do have the honor of interviewing to be introduced to them, and they can learn something from them and their stories and their different lessons. So fingers crossed that will happen in the future, and that will be able to reach to more people, larger audiences.
Oh gosh, definitely good luck with that, because you know, with your words and your motivation and inspiration, I'm sure they'll look to you and want to hear more for you to help young people. And I know you want to one day meet Ellen DeGeneres or get on involved somehow with her show. So America is your vision, is it?
I mean, well, in the past year, my idea of America has kind of changed a little bit, but I still love the idea of it. Just the idea of Hollywood, obviously, I think that's everyone's dream. Obviously, I want to do more acting work in the future, so Hollywood just seems like the idealistic place for me. But honestly, I'd love to travel around the world, but obviously America is one of the places that I'd love to visit again.
Oh, definitely. And I really hope you get to one day meet Ellen DeGeneres. We'll give her a shout out on this show. So lastly, is there anything you say to boys and girls or teens or adults out there with your incredible wisdom and vision? And good luck to you, because I think you're amazing and I'm so lovely to speak to you. But is there anything you'd say just as a last thought for them coming out of lockdown? You've given them so much to think about, but one last inspiration.
I mean, if you think about it, every single day that we go through, regardless of maybe how repetitive it may feel, we are one day closer to normality. We are one day closer to normality, to visiting friends or visiting family. So I think that's really what we can use to carry on going. I mean, patience is a very rare skill. I feel like I haven't had the honor of adapting that skill quite yet. So having to wait till going back to school till, well, they're saying after March, we don't even know that for sure, but you know, trying to keep that positive mindset obviously and aiming for high hopes. But we still do have to keep patient and to use our time wisely. So when you're not doing schoolwork, what are you doing to benefit yourself? What can you do to grow your mindset or to improve your skills? If you are someone who can be quite stressed, then what are different ways that you can learn how to release your stress? What are different ways that you can learn to love yourself more or learn to encourage others? So I think we can try and find beauty in the hardest times like these, and to try and make the most out of them. So I'd say just use your time wisely. It's our most important asset.
Well, that's so beautiful. I love that you're saying that. And actually, to adults, that is, you know, wisdom in itself. And I think you should be teaching adults how to think like you do, because a lot of them haven't learned it yet. So I think you're doing a brilliant job. Keep going, keep on keeping on and doing everything you're doing, and I'm sure you'll be a massive superstar with your mum as a dream team in the future. Thank you so much to you, Vanessa, and to your mum, Veronica, who's here with you, for inspiring us and sharing your incredible life as a young motivational speaker, for helping adults and teens to be confident and giving them inspiration to follow their dreams. Thank you so much. The Influential Women's Podcast is co-founded and host-presented by exec producer Nikki Bannerman and audio produced by Safran Mirza. Please subscribe for free on all podcasting platforms to hear our real-life stories out every other Tuesday.